Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Home-Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning. Thank you, Isaiah. You do each and every morning welcome our listening audience, the 41,000-plus listeners now who have tuned into a show here on Home-Based Business 101. And we just want to thank you. It truly is listener support radio. You truly make us feel good and excited. And this is a special week, the last 3 weeks as we close the year out with dedication and tribute to remember the late, great brother George Sabir, comrade, friend, acquaintance, person that really inspired me a lot concerning business and being grounded, especially business in the African American community. George passed December the 10th, 2010, on this day, 2 years ago, had a heart attack, and we did a radio show about a week before that to come back and do another piece. Never got a chance to do that. I'm outside broadcasting right now. We'll be in the house in a minute, but I started outside because George had a heart attack. He died on a track. So I wanted to get outside so I could feel his spirit, remember the spirit as we dive in these next 15 days to go through three of his books, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America, Black Folks' Guide to Business Success, to Getting Black Folks to Sell. Those are some very powerful books. Before we get into the content of those, again, for those that do not know a lot about George, George was a tremendously giving person, a very patient person. And George first found his roots in the organization UP, started by Dr. Marlana Karinga in the 1960s. And, we ended up both becoming CALEDA advocates. And that was one of the things that intrigued me about George was that coming out of one of the most radical organizations in the 1960s, it was two organizations in the 1960s, two most radical organizations in the 1960s, second half of the 60s, 66 on. US was founded in 1965, Black Panther Party for Self-Defense was founded similar around the same time, 65, 66. But those were two radical, most radical organizations of the time. US organization pushing culture as a theme. Some of you might be very familiar with the African-American holiday of Kwanzaa, which is a contribution from the US organization. And the very first public Kwanzaa celebration in 1966, George was responsible for organizing that under the organization. And so for him to come out of that organization and that mode of thinking, because we were, that time very much looking at how to turn this sucker upside down. When I say this sucker, I'm talking about America, depression that African Americans are going through, still going through, and was looking for ways and solutions. And ultimately, it led George to the whole business development mindset and develop business development planning and thinking and learn to go from the grant world to the business world to the empowerment world. Because in the movement, that's basically what we were talking about anyway, how to empower ourselves as people. Talking about self-determination, being able to speak for ourselves, name ourselves, find for ourselves, create for ourselves instead of being divine name spoken for by others. We talked about something called Ujamaa, cooperative economics, to build and maintain our own store, shops, and other businesses. If you're familiar with Kwanzaa, you've heard those principles called Kujichagulia and Ujamaa. And so I was very inspired when I saw that George transitioned from organization that we was in to taking it to the masses, getting African Americans to start thinking about business and what it meant to be a business owner and what we could do as business owners. And that really inspired me tremendously. And George has that impact not only on me, but also on people in the movement. And so it is my honor and a privilege to be able to celebrate his life the next 15 days as we dwell into reviewing the life and times of George Tower Sabira. And with that said, you know, I want to set a backdrop and begin to focus on the first book and why it's important. And I'm just going to play a little bit of the interview that me and George did back in 2010. And, you know, these next 15 days during the week, Monday through Friday, you know, we're going to get a chance to share a lot. And, you know, I hope the people who George had an impact on be able to call into some of the shows and share, you know, what they got out of knowing George and their relationship to George. And you know, we're just really grateful and thankful for that. The computer has froze here a second. Bear with me as I attempt to get this computer situation straight here. Always some kind of technical glitch when you want things to go a certain way. So hold on one second. Just hold on. Don't go anywhere. Bobby Jahi will be right back. Still here. Working on this computer. Right back at you. Okay, let me see if that solves my problem. Hope it does. Looking and waiting and waiting. I might have to go without the computer this morning. So, all right. Looks like that's what I'm going to have to do, go without the computer this morning. So, let me go ahead and get into the book. We'll have to listen to some interview that me and George did tomorrow. Because it doesn't seem as though I'm going to be able to get to that. Okay, with that, let's start with the book that we're going to be covering this week and why this book is so important, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. This book was originally written, first published in July of 1980. And George, he dedicated this book to Google's people, as he said, all who have been important in my development thus far. To my folks, George Sr. and Roxanne, planted enough of the right seeds that I never had anything to really worry about. To Mufasa for being the strongest encouragement for this book. To Pansy, my love, for making it even more obvious why this book had to be written. To Jabila, who always helped keep my head together. To Mtume, to Marion, Bob Pickett, and Drs. Martinique and G. Jackson for being incredible examples of strength and determination. to Dr. Marlana Thuringer, our greatest teacher, I owe you a spite of yourself. This book is dedicated to the master promoters of the black world, Muhammad Ali, James Brown, Berry Gordy, Reverend Ike, Reggie Jackson, George, Dr. Funker, Clinton, Boosie Collins, Barbara Gardner Practice. This book is dedicated to the future, the persons of Iban, Hadis, and Tamani. And a special thanks to Wendy Gibson, Janice Carter, Diane Hill, Jeannie Bailey, Elaine Johnson, and Pansy for fighting through my chicken scratch and typing out a presentable manuscript. Thanks to Mrs. Margaret Banks for adding some of the King's English to my black English. Final editing by Maisha Zulu. And a very special thanks to James Lucas. Brother, you were right on time. Again, this book was written in 1980. And it's a powerful, powerful book. Introduction. George says, hello, my name is George Tower Sabira, and what you have in your hands right now is my book, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. I'd like to explain a few things to you about this book, such as why it was written, how it was written, and how to use this book. This guide was written to answer a need that has been quite obvious now for hundreds of years. Especially the problem is, how do you teach the former slaves to attain their share of the wealth that they largely created in this country? I believe it is a shame that you, the black public, have had to wait so long for a book like this to be available to you. Africans arrived in America officially in 1619, many say sooner. And from that year to this one, we've had severe economic problems. I mean, what he said there, it's so true and still so prevalent today. Severe economic problems. We still have them today. Since black or white, you would determine that this problem of black poverty was serious enough to merit at least one book discussing the solutions to the problems, wouldn't you? I assumed that this book had been done years ago, but when I asked bookstore owners and librarians for books on learning how to make money, from black people's perspective, they sort of just looked at me. You could just about hear what they were thinking. Is this and crazy? See, I mean, and even today, you know, here it is 2012, and I talk to some African Americans and some people, black people can't make big money in America unless you're either entertainer, athlete, or drug dealer. We talk about business, people, you know, they do what business? You lost your mind. Don't you know that's for other people? Because I want you to understand that there were many books on the market discussing black capitalism, black business, the economics of the ghetto, et cetera. But there has not been no book up to this point ever written for Mr. Average black man or woman to read, study, and use to build a comfortable, safe, secure life for himself and his family, and that, my friend, is exactly why this book was written. See, a book, as he said, I said he took information to the masses, a book for everybody, a book for the everyday black man and woman to be able to read, understand, comprehend, and as he said, come up with a strategy to come up with a strategy of how to build a comfortable, safe, and secure life for him and himself and his family in this world, and particularly in America. There were other reasons besides extreme need which caused me to write this book. The most important, as you may have guessed, was money. I truly believe that this investment would bear substantial fruit, or else it would not have been written. Competition was another factor. I want many more writers, business persons, and scholars to begin writing on this theme. It doesn't matter to me whether they mention me, blast my ideas, or support them, as long as you, the public, have more relevant information to select from than you have had in the last 360 years. See, so he wanted to set a bar for other people to also dwell in this industry of writing self-help books for the average, everyday African-American. Another factor motivated me to write this book was the prospect of meeting new friends and or business partners. I love to work with serious people on projects to create social development, excitement, and profit. It's always a game for development and profit. So you also wanted to meet, you know, new business partners. That's one of the reasons I do this radio show, Home-Based Business 101, searching for people that want to explore new ideas to go beyond where we're at so that we can create a paradigm of possibilities of what we would like to achieve. George goes on to say how to use this book. The best way to use this book is to read it. That may sound stupid, but ask yourself, how many books do you own that you have never read? This book contains both facts and philosophy. I have found that a person needs both information, facts, and a proper attitude or philosophy in order to be successful in any venture. If I had written a plain step-by-step plan of how to make money with no discussion of black folks and white folks' attitudes, I don't think you would have been too convinced to take the program very seriously. On the other hand, if I would have rapped for days on philosophy of money without showing a concrete program, you would have probably accused me of fraud. So I've combined both philosophical and practical statements to come up with this program designed to take the serious black person from poverty to wealth. This is powerful what he said, to take the serious-minded black person, or we now say African-American, 60s, you know, we in the 80s, 70s, we were saying black. And Jesse Jackson came out with African-American, and it became catchy, and everyone caught on. Use that term now. I always use the term Africans who were born in America. But regardless, the point is to show us a serious way to rise from poverty to wealth. So I'm excited about as we get this week kicked off and get it, and as we dive into this book. He goes on to say, at the risk of sounding boastful, I would recommend that you not try to fully comprehend everything in this book on your very first read. This book is a guide, not a novel. You do not read this book, put it down, and go on about your business as usual. It was not designed that way. What you should do is read it, think about it, and then go out and attempt to do something, anything to improve your financial situation. Later you come back and reread a point, section, or the entire book that may now have taken on a different meaning. Making big bucks, especially if you are black, is long and often difficult process. The purpose is to show you some correct methods of looking at and doing things which should shorten the road to wealth considerable. You could also gain a great deal of additional insight by reading this book in a study group or discussing it with friends or family. I'm often found among black folks, we often disagree on ideas because we refuse to give our buddy credit for seeing the problem from a rather better perspective or giving it a better analysis than ourselves. Rather than agree to what seems like the mere logical or reasonable answer, we get upset and yell something like, hey, well, that's just your opinion. We then go on our separate ways knowing that the other person was right, but somehow believing that we won something simply by being stubborn and refusing to give in on that point. This problem has certainly caused a lack of collective effort in many money-making situations. If you use a comic book, this one, you wouldn't feel like you had to win or lose with any person. You could merely discuss the book. Law students, medical students, and other graduate students use study groups to get through school. Why can't we form a study group to learn how to actually make some money? Great question, George. Still ask that question today here in the year 2012. Why can't we form a study group to learn how to actually make some money? If enough of your friends and potential partners can agree on enough ideas, you may decide to actually start a business project. I mean, if you're serious. In any event, this book is only intended to be the beginning of your financial education. It will point you to other valuable sources of information. You, the reader, however, must have the curiosity and energy to hunt down the right people, books, and information that you need to do your thing. Without learning enough to raise the right questions, you will not get the right answers. Without the right answers, a lot of time, work, and money will be wasted. As Brother George Clinton, Dr. Funkelstein, of Parliament Funkadelic has always said, free your mind and your ass will follow. Think, it ain't illegal yet. Later, George Shapiro. And that's the introduction to his book. And, you know, I mean, he just lays out a great backdrop of why the book was written. And even today in the year 2012, the same premises that he talked about still fundamentally need to be dealt with. And I'm going to, I want to be able to do this the right way. So I'm going to dive into the book tomorrow. But what I want you to think about tonight, we dive into the book tomorrow, and, you know, share this information with other people, get people to come on board, listen to this show, and hopefully maybe we can develop a study group out of the information from this book and work on a collective project for those that are interested. Again, if you're interested in something like that, you can text us at 252-406-0774, 252-406-0774. George talks about coming to grips with your financial ignorance, and he says there's four things that you need to do. Basically, there are four things which I think make up the greatest part of our financial ignorance. One, we really don't know what wealth is and how many ways it can be measured. Two, we poor folks have very little knowledge of what rich folks do to get their money and hold on to it. Three, we really do not understand how our own habits keep us in the poorhouse and keep us from seeing and doing what the rich do. And four, we have very little understanding of the extremely strong influence that our attitudes about ourselves, money, work, and life in general affect our ability to gain and build wealth. I want you to think about those four things between today and tomorrow as we, you know, we come back to begin to dive into the book and go into the chapter on what is wealth. But he says there's four things that's so important. You know, that is the, you know, the greatest part of makeup of our financial ignorance. And I read those four things again and then offer prayer and do a libation for George for wrapping the show up. Number one, we really don't know what wealth is and how many ways it can be measured. So assignment number one, write down how many ways that you know wealth can be measured and what is wealth. Two, we poor folks have very little knowledge of what the rich folks do to get their money and hold on to it. Right, what do you know about the rich? Write them down. Three, we really do not understand how our own habits keep us in the poorhouse and keep us from doing and seeing what the rich do, our habits. What habits do we have that are different than habits that the rich have? Four, we have very little understanding of the extremely strong influence that our attitudes about ourselves, money, work, and life in general affect our ability to gain and build wealth. And tomorrow we're going to get into the book, and our goal is to get through as much of the book as we can this week before going into week two with Black Folks Guide to Business Success and then wrapping up with Getting Black Folks to Sell. And I want to say at this time, you know, I really miss George. I enjoyed the dialogue that we had and things. And tomorrow, hopefully, when I have my computer freezing on me first thing in the morning, and be able to play part of the interview that we did back in 2010. And at this time, you know, I want to offer a libation to George, Sifa Ina Ote, Mababa Weusi, which means all praises due to the black ancestors. George became an ancestor December 10th, 2010. And I know he's watching over us. I know he's watching over me. I've instituted a program that me and him had talked about. We finally got it kicked off this year here in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, called the Young Adult Business Builders Academy. I'll talk more about that also tomorrow. My heart's kind of heavy right now as I think about George on this day, the day that he transitioned and became an ancestor. And, you know, I have left is the memories, the conversations, the dialogues that we had, a few things that I was able to record that we did together, his books to go through, and just the wealth of knowledge and experience that he had in the business world and the people that he met, prominent people who a lot of us know about business dealings with them, the good, the bad, the ugly, and him sharing that information with me, some inside stuff that other people don't even know. Some very dangerous stuff that other people don't know also. And I truly miss him. I truly, truly, truly miss him. And with that said, hey, tomorrow we begin to get into the book, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. And again, Brother George, may your spirit, your soul be resting in peace. Continue to watch over us, inspire us. Again, Sifa Ina Ote, my Baba Weusi, all praise is due to the black ancestors. Hey, until tomorrow morning, God willing, the creek don't rise. Be right back on these airwaves with you as we dive into the book, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America by George Tower Sabir. Tutadana, that means till we meet again.